So, welcome to my podcast about living faith and secular culture. We have another episode, and this is a special episode because it's not on Zoom anymore. It's in person in Poland, and even with a live audience. So this is really fun. I was looking forward to something like this. And my guests are today Sam and Unika from Wrocław, Poland. And I got to know them from Steiger. And some years ago, and I want to just ask them a little bit about their story. They are like, they will share themselves what they are. They have a really interesting story, and today it's basically about their story, how they found each other, and what they experienced also in this topic of living faith in a secular culture. And yeah, it's really cool to have you here. Like,
yeah, thanks for having us. Yeah. Thanks for having us.
So maybe let's start with this question: who are you guys, and what brings you together and to live in Wrocław? Maybe it's a huge topic, so we will dive into the story, but just that you know who is sitting here.
Yeah. So for me, the answer is more obvious because I was born nearby here, and yeah, my family has moved around Poland a lot, but it's just like for me, it's the city where I studied also, and it was just kind of a natural choice for me.
Me, on the other hand, I was born and raised in America, or the U.S., I should say, since our audience member is Brazilian, and there's South America as well, so we cannot hog the America-ness. But yeah, so I am originally from Minnesota, and ended up moving here because of Unika.
Yeah, or we actually, like, we both moved here for just for the reason of feeling kind of more called maybe to this place for this time. And yeah, because we could probably, you know, be together in any other place in the world, but we were just like trying to figure out where God was calling us for this time and just pray through that, and we felt like it was Wrocław for now. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. What are you guys doing right now here? Like, you're with Steiger a little bit. You are getting a baby and stuff.
So we do kind of many different things. It's like a smorgasbord of little things here and there. Kind of our day job is teachers. We teach English and Polish.
I teach Greek or Polish to foreigners as well, and some vocals or singing.
I teach the Chinese kids online, and also to Polish students here in Wrocław. But then also we are volunteers with Steiger. We do kind of a lot of different things with them as well. One of the main things we feel called to right now is doing music, and basically expressing the gospel in creative ways through music, through art, different things like that. We also help with, or we have helped in the past with this cultural center that our local church and Steiger kind of do together. Kind of a variety of other little things.
Translation, interpretation, things like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Just trying to be useful.
Enough to keep us busy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, serce. The day is a heartless.
one particularly is talking about me being in the U, or well, me being in Poland, and or Erika being in the U.S. And when each of us was in each other's country, there was this feeling of like restlessness. And in an international relationship and an international marriage, there's always going to be that feeling for someone, unless they both choose to live in a third country, I guess. But there's always going to be that feeling of just, what is home to me? What feeling of being a foreigner? And so this kind of gets at some of those emotions.
We are restless till we find our rest in you. You can only be where you are. We are hearts but not so far. We are restless till we find our rest in you.
Shadow of Bidranka to Lake Minnetonka, past daily overs in Iceland, to the girl I met near Dresden, same Brooklyn subway, different nights, to Prague I held her tight, still there's a longing more than the sight, through Nori clouds to northern lights.
You can only be where you are. You can only be where you are. You can only be where you are.
I remember pretty clearly how I met you, Samuel, for the first time. I think you just popped up in some Steiger school randomly, like this hippie guy that was like traveling and was like... So, and this was also the school where you guys got to know each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you maybe... I think it's an interesting story that how you found each other. And also, we will ask that a little bit later what also difficulties and challenges in like a relationship like this with this two totally different cultures, but it's so inspiring that it's working, like, well, sometimes not working well probably, and you have to fight a lot, but maybe the story how you get to know each other.
I think generally as Christians we are always kind of, you know, a third culture wherever we are. So it's kind of, you know, it's not, yeah, it's, I feel like, you know, with Sam and with many other, you know, friends and people from that, I, you know, even if I meet someone who's a part of the church in any other part of the world, it's an instant connection that you wouldn't have even with a person from your own nation, you know. Sometimes if they're, you know, if they're not in the family of Christ, sometimes it feels more kind of distant, even if it's geographically closer, you know. And the opposite also is true. It sometimes feels really close to people who are very distant geographically, just because you know, you share the same kind of spiritual DNA, you know, and just, yeah. So we first met at that school. That was my first Steiger school, 2015.
Yep,
right?
Yep. Yeah, in Germany. Yeah, we should mention for the audience.
yeah. And Sam had done the school 2 years before me, and he came back with a marionette show.
Yeah, so one Steiger guy, Philip Shore, he's a missionary from the U.S., my city in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he does this traveling marionette show across Europe. He's been doing it for the last 10, 15 years. Now he has some other really crazy artistic projects, like vampire-themed orchestras, to live film and other fun stuff. But he kind of I've been kind of under his wing in Minneapolis for many years, and some of the different things that he did, and then he invited me to come tour with him one summer. And so the Stagger School was helping out with some of the shows we were doing, and that's kind of when we got to meet, and or me and Anika got to meet and mm-hmm. talk more and start to get to know each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and later we went also to the Slot Art Festival with the school, and they were also there, so we had some more time there.
Which is a art festival here in Poland. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend. It was my first experience in Poland, and it was just a very unique festival in many ways, and very inspiring, especially like in the topic of being a Christian in a secular culture. Like it was a festival run both by Christians and non-Christians, kind of working together, and it kind of has this mixed feel of you have Christian
dialogue.
Yeah, you have Christian artists, you have secular artists, kind of both in this festival, and because of that, like a lot of, you know, non-Christians get maybe exposed to just different Christians, and we've had some friends that have come to Christ through coming to the festival and stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was just a little plug for Slot Art Festival.
Slot Art Festival 2021 is happening.
Yeah. We will have some people, and we will have this Slot Art Festival, I guess, as a known episode on the podcast soon with someone from.
Yeah.
I will dig deeper into this because I also like this and go there for the last year. So.
Yeah.
We highly recommend. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So that's one place that. Special for us because we got the chance to kind of get to know each other more there. Mm-hmm. And after that we kind of made that leap into long distance relationship through the magic of free Facebook Messenger calling and also just kind of a long story with all of that, but
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then from there, just of course, I felt like, you know, just long distance in itself is not a kind of substantial version of a relationship. So just like, you know, we decided to basically visit each other, of course, like first, you know, as much as we could, which isn't easy between continents, but we tried, and we were able to just go for a few weeks here, and then Sam was able to go there, and I'm saying the opposite thing now. But I decided to take some time off my university to go there for half a year to get to know Sam in his context a little bit more and kind of get to know his family and friends to make sure, you know, I wanted to live with this person for the rest of my life in one house. I needed to first live with this person for a little bit in the same city at least.
Yeah, and it was nice since we live here in Poland now for her to kind of have been in the U.S. and kind of getting to experience the U.S. culture for a little bit of time and helps give some context, you know, in our relationship that we kind of can both appreciate and like
understand more
like just the different cultures that we're from
that's an interesting part, like if then you guys can also see which is not just the other person sometimes, but it's some cultural thing, you know, like if you have never been to a country, you might find some things in the other person that are just annoying you, and you think it's just some stupid habit that Sam has or something like that.
Yeah.
But if you live in a country, then you see, okay, everyone here has this kind of stupid habit.
Yeah.
And I can understand why they have to be a little bit gracious with some things.
Yeah, that's definitely kind of a big thing that you kind of have to be aware of. Like, I feel like in our international relationship, there's a tendency just to think, you know, just to kind of blame the overall culture for things, which... oftentimes it's maybe not necessarily the case, or sometimes it is. I mean, you have to really kind of get to know the culture and get to know the person more to really understand and separate those things from each other.
Mm-hmm. And I would say just some bigger differences you can find usually in communication styles between different cultures. And that would be kind of like a basic thing to probably talk through and work through as an international couple, because that can really throw you off if you don't know, like, you know, just even like with, you know, with Brazilians, you know, being more kind of expressive and like, you know, just hugging people a lot. And, you know, and you may not be really close, maybe friends sometimes, but it kind of appears to us as Polish people as a really close relationship in this way. And like with, you know, with Sam, we had this, you know, difference of like in Poland, we're more kind of bland and just kind of say things very straightforward. And we don't, it's not that we don't care about how the other person feels, but we care about truth, and it's a higher priority than
feelings.
Yeah. So it kind of, yeah, it's more kind of matter of a fact kind of communication.
Yeah. And then where I'm from in Minnesota, we have this phrase called Minnesota nice, which refers to our tendency to try to be very indirect and and add a lot of niceties around everything and cushion them and make it like, you know, the value is like, you know, peace at all costs and and keeping the friendship and stuff and not saying something to upset the other person. And so I tend to like, there's different personalities still where we live, obviously, but like I tend to fit the stereotype there, and I guess you tend to fit the more of the stereotype from Poland. So we've had to kind of.
So at first Sam had to like realize that maybe I'm not cruel sometimes, but just like, you know, just saying things very straightforward. Yeah. You know?
And we've been able to help each other out because those different aspects of our personality come in handy in different situations.
Yeah.
Like there are some situations that call for needing more directness, especially if you're dealing with some kind of like, you know,
official paperwork and
or just like, you know, you need to like cut through the crap and with certain people trying, you know,
and on the other hand I really, you know, got to appreciate like Sam's kind of niceness and kind of I feel so unnatural because of my culture.
Yeah.
It feels like an added extra filter for me, and it feels like I'm kind of, you know, cheating, you know, myself and the other person when I'm trying to like be so nice.
Like you're trying to be nice and you feel like you're not honest anymore. Like
I feel like sometimes, you know, it's like almost like manipulation, because consciously I'm trying to change how I would normally say it so that I get the result I want. So I feel like this is kind of manipulative, you know, so I don't want to do it sometimes. But I know like it's natural for Sam to just be very soft and like, and just kind, you know, and kind of sometimes in some situations, personal situations, it's needed, you know, to just
kind of alleviate personal conflict.
Yeah, or first just let somebody know that we really care about them. And, you know, and just, it's kind of harder for me to communicate sometimes those kind of positive, you know, background to the situation sometimes. And yeah.
So how that's an interesting question, because like, how do you deal with that difference in general, or to even in different parts, you know, like you could just deal with, okay, it's different and the other thing actually is quite good and I can learn something, I try to learn it.
Yeah.
Or you say like in this part, okay, if it goes to saying something straight to the landlord or something, it's just like, you need to do it, you can do it better, and I don't care to learn it or something. Or now like you shift the things a little bit by what is already in you guys, or you also try to learn a lot, like being like the other and learning like what, how do you probably you deal in different situations differently, like and did you ever get even to the point where you said, okay, I could try to learn this but I will always be bad in this, and so like there's because it's not my natural style, so I can try to be a little bit like this, but it wouldn't make much sense probably to learn it too much, but because I will never be really good in it.
I feel like we're trying to use our natural strengths, because those things can be really strengths in certain situations, but we also realize that they can also be weaknesses. So we're trying to work on those weaknesses in general, and I'm trying to learn from Sam just like, you know, this more soft-spoken communication style, and just like, you know, I really want people to know when they talk to me that I do care about them. So I'm trying to just, you know, learn how to communicate that better in this way, you know, and just so I think we realize there's some weakness in our natural kind of style of communicating.
Yeah.
And there is also some kind of strength to, in some situations. So we're trying to use that when we have a choice of who communicates with a certain person at a certain time sometimes. But at the same time, we're trying to work on that overall, I think, both of us.
Yeah. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's sometimes also other situations that kind of dictate what you know, how we are able to communicate. You know, a lot of the official stuff I can't deal with as easily anyways because of language barriers and stuff. And so there's other added elements sometimes and stuff. But I definitely think, yeah, it's one of those things where, yeah, you have to use the strength, but like you said, make sure you work on those weaknesses as well, because they still can be just bad.
Yeah.
I'm building a home in you. I'm building a home in you. I'm building. Wait, stop there, I'm naked. I've no house here worth making. I am building. Wait, my drive is freezing. You don't want to be near me, but I'm building a home. Cabin right where your heart is standing. I'm building a 1,000-year castle that lasts until your last no. I'm building.
we have so many topics which we talked before, so I want to take this. I have one more question about this international relationship thing, and then I think I want to take it also to the next topic, because I only have you here for now, and so
wanna
do this a little bit different. I'm not sticking to the topic too much this time, sorry guys. And my last question about this international couple thing was maybe two questions. What is was maybe the most challenging thing, and if you want, if you feel free to do it, maybe even if you have some stories or one story where you really where it really was challenging, and maybe even how you got through the challenge, and maybe what is the most satisfying thing about international relationship, and if you have story that you want to share, feel free. Mm-hmm. You can also change it around. You can also start with the most satisfying thing. You know? That doesn't matter whatever comes to your mind first.
We've been only married to each other in our lifetimes, so it's hard to compare to any other kind of relationship. We've only experienced international marriage, not to any national marriage. So
that's true. That's true because, like, you don't have the base to compare. But I would say, I mean, there is like the practical element of what is home, because when you're in an international relationship, for one person or the other person, they're always going to be away from their home country. Unless you're in like a third country where you're both away from home. Mm-hmm. So you're always going to have some element of being a foreigner. Like you can't escape it, which can be kind of a difficult thing for one or both of, of, you know, the people involved. We've even written some songs about it, as we're, doing the music stuff, with our band Hey Giraffes, and kind of explored that issue of that feeling. That kind of alienation that you can kind of feel sometimes, but at the same time, as Christians, having that third culture, having that kind of third place to call home in a way that kind of transcends any nation or transcends anything like that. And so I think maybe that could also be a good thing, to be more aware of that, even as it's very difficult, because you know we're all foreigners in this in this world, but sometimes it just takes something else to make it more obvious, I guess.
Yeah, and the benefit of that, you know, is kind of, as you said, you know, just realizing more that this is not our home, really. This world, you know, is not our home. And kind of when we, you know, sometimes when we enter a relationship, I guess always we enter it with some kind of expectations, you know, based on our own family of origin. And usually, you know, people, when they meet someone from Poland, they kind of, you know, subconsciously expect to be similar in those expectations, which is usually not the case. And it usually occurs later that, oh, actually, you know, your parents did totally different. And like, it's obvious to me, but it's totally strange for you. And, you know, so for us, it was more, we were more prepared for that, I think, maybe, because we knew that we had very different backgrounds and traditions kind of from our homes. So that was one thing. And I think a benefit, so the consciousness of that was kind of the benefit, but also I think it was easier for us sometimes to make maybe controversial decisions to our families or like surroundings generally, because for them it was also like, oh, maybe that's how they do it in the other country. You know, like,
yeah, you could just make your own decision and just say, okay, that's maybe the
Because like I'm thinking about our wedding, you know, for instance, and it wasn't very traditional for any culture of, you know, of origin really for us. We had a very weird, like, we had a pre-wedding thing in the States, and then we had a wedding in Poland, and the wedding in Poland was kind of untraditional in some ways. But we were just kind of, I feel like we had an easier time kind of, you know, telling people about what is going to happen and how it's going to go, because, you know, they were like, oh, I guess, you know, that's just the other culture thing.
Yeah. Maybe that's frees you to, from having to feel like you have to follow in the tradition for the country just because it's your country.
Especially if you come from a very traditional country like Poland, I think.
So in a lot of ways, I feel like these, the kind of the downsides and the benefits get kind of entangled in each other. You know, when you're in an international relationship, it's like, there's these really difficulty things of, or these like, this really, you know, The cultural differences can, even little things can be very irritating at times, yeah. But at the same time, it can allow you more freedom to kind of pick and choose from, to make your third culture. We can say, okay, I like this about your culture, you like this about my culture, and there's even some, there's traditions that we have from both cultures now in our home, and so it's a blessing and a curse.
How do you deal with when you really like, that's probably situations I really like this, and there's also, how do you deal with, how do you solve it? Is there a way to solve it, or like
when there's conflict based on our cultural differences?
Of course, there's more also a question generally in relationships.
There's always conflict.
So you don't need to focus too much on the cultural thing, but sometimes you cannot really change the other person because it's like just. And I think this is even worse with this cultural difference, because it's even harder to change another person.
That kind of reminds.
How do you deal with that?
So it's funny, because this is also kind of maybe a funny little thing, because as musicians, people assume when you have two musician couple, oh, that's so cute, you can make music together.
Yeah, you all play together and it's so romantic.
That was the biggest area of conflict. It was the biggest area of conflict.
We almost didn't become a couple because of that in the first place. Because I had an expectation of, like, you know, I believed that God is calling me to those things, and I needed a husband that had, you know, those 20 qualities. Okay. And Sam only met 19 of those, you know, requirements. So I was like, God does have a perfect husband for me, you know?
And the one quality I didn't meet was I wasn't a jazz musician.
Yeah. Okay, so I was like, that's not going to work. But then actually, like, you know, it was generally God does, you know, sometimes funny, miraculous things. And I was like, it's a very long, complicated story if we go into the details. But generally, I was at a point where we were talking, you know, talking online, and we were not yet officially in any relationship or anything, but just talking about maybe being in a relationship.
Yeah.
And I was already honest with him, and I was like, I don't know if this is gonna like work, you know, with my calling, you know. And then I was just about to, like, go back to my tent. It was in another place, you know, and just, like, write him a message, you know, saying, I don't think it's going to work, you know, let's just, you know, not go deeper in that. And when I got my phone and I checked it, you know, I saw I already had a message from him, and I read it. And it was a document he wrote that was entitled Ideas for a Shared Culture. And it was basically like a statement of what we could do together for God if we were together, you know, as a couple. And I was reading it, and I started crying because, like, you know, some of those things were things that we haven't even talked about, but were my dreams, you know, in my heart, you know, maybe just really, like, deep inside, you know, that I wouldn't even talk to anybody about, you know, or, like, different little details from what God was also telling me that he's calling me to. That wasn't exactly just jazz, you know. And, you know, just it was kind of really eye-opening for me, you know, and just, like, seeing, you know, that maybe the style of music isn't everything, and just, like, how hard it would be to find someone that has all of those other kind of parts of calling that are aligning very clearly, you know, and just, and also that moment, you know, that how did he know to write that, you know, at this time where I was, like, about to write him, you know, that it wouldn't make sense, you know. So then we talked, and actually after that, in that conversation, after that, we actually decided to become a couple, and
And it still took a while to kind of smooth out all, like, our musical differences, and just kind of...
And it's still not fully smoothed out.
I mean, I think it's...
probably never happened in a lifetime.
But the thing is, I think what we learned is trying not to, like, you know, like, feeling like, oh, they have to enjoy the same thing I do, or... Because there was some songs, like, I really enjoyed that really were irritating to her, and there were... I mean, and I think we also came from a different background, too, of, like, oh... we have a visitor in our apartment, so we will take a short pause.
Okay, this is the first part of the podcast with Yonika and Samuel. We had we talked more about since we had a long talk about music after that, and it would make the one episode way too long, I decided to split, so you will see stay tuned and you will be able to listen to the episode about music and bringing using music and art in missions as well, but also how to survive besides doing your music and stuff, and how this works also in a relationship and a marriage. And yeah, this will be the second part. I decided to split, and you will have this next week. And as always, please, if you like this episode, share it with people, give us a good review, and yeah, see you next week with the second part of this podcast that I recorded in Poland, in Wrocław.